All right, here we go. It's the Cooley and Clinton podcast at Fort Belvoir. Thank you to the thousands of people that came out here today. We appreciate it. One clap there. This podcast is brought to you by Window Nation. I love Window Nation because they have over 10,000 positive online reviews, lifetime warranties, and 97% customer satisfaction. That's their rating. They're trusted by over 150,000 owners, including me and CP. Clinton, I want to talk about Dwayne Haskins today. I want to talk about that game last night. Did you watch the game last night?
That game was awesome last night.
The game was unbelievable last night. But I want to start with my feat of the year. I accomplished something that I don't know if I've ever been more proud of myself for. So first of all, I do this thing every year where I say, I'm going to power clean 315 pounds by the end of the year. I just got to get to that number. It's not a massive accomplishment to get to that number, right? I know you can't do it.
I wouldn't try to do it.
So I go downstairs, the weight room at Redskins Park, put on 185 pounds. Here we go. I did about 8 of them. Felt pretty good. Go back down, 225. Here we go. 6 of them. Felt pretty good. Let's do 245. Did 4 of them. Felt pretty good. All right, I'm thinking that was going to be my limit for the day. I thought I had to start from scratch, so I put on 275. 275 is getting a little bit heavier. Knocked it right out, man. 285. Now, at this point, your goal is to get 315 by the end of the year. I mean, do you even mess around? But I just didn't think I could do it. So I'm 285. Here we go. Got it. Got it done. I put on 305, and I sat and looked at it, and I sat and looked at it, and I said, why in the hell would I do this? 315 is only 10 pounds more. By this time, I got 7 or 8 of the players in the Redskins locker room cheering me on. Yeah, like, here we go. Because I have made it very clear that my goal is for the year is 315, and that I haven't lifted and I really don't think I've lifted a weight since last football season. I may have at some point in this offseason when I decided I was getting chubby. I may have. I did not go into a big process of lifting weights this year. I've tried to run a little bit. I got a Peloton bike. I haven't lifted weights. So I put on 315. I'm hyped up, man.
You like, almost blew your back out.
Back to high school wrestling, like patting your legs. Here we go. Slapping my face. Like, bah, bah, bah. No, I didn't slap my face. Catch it. I don't know if anyone's ever done power cleans. You can, if you have decent hip flexibility, this is why I can do this, because I still at 37 apparently have good hip flexibility. You can drop all the way under it, so you catch it with your butt almost on your heels. But I hadn't had to do that at 285, and I'm concerned that at that point you have to front squat it, right? I'm like, there's no way if I have to catch it at the bottom. Dude, I sat with that bar on my – what's this thing? On my
clavicle
for about 1.5 seconds. I'm like, I think I can do it. 315. I do not have to lift weights for another year.
Good job.
How about that, buddy? So
me on the flip side, I haven't lifted weights since maybe 2010. Maybe 2010. Go to the gym, run a little bit, play a little basketball, but that's it.
I just don't. Here's the problem. I wanted to do the normal human being, go to the gym, Jack LaLanne workout. You probably don't know who that is, but like the easy workout, right?
But it doesn't
some
accomplish anything.
And so, it doesn't make you feel good.
No, it doesn't
it
accomplish
should.
Anything.
I'd love to be able to go in there and do some dumbbell presses with some 65s and, you know, do some leg presses on the machine. And I've tried that so many times.
Does nothing for you.
I'm on cloud 9 right now. I just power cleaned 315 pounds.
You should be.
That's as good as it gets for me.
But I can't wait
to talk. It's the highlight of my month.
So today is, what, Tuesday? I can't wait to see you on Thursday or Friday.
Oh, I'll be fine by Friday.
We'll see.
Thursday. So the No, he's right.
We shall see.
So I'll feel it tomorrow a little bit. Here's the thing, though. It wasn't that hard. It wasn't like this crazy exertion. And it's not like I did 50 reps of something. Ended up doing like 20 total cleans on the day. Today's Tuesday. I'll be sore Thursday morning.
I know. So will you do your podcast on
that.
Friday?
I didn't stop it at that. I have my new yearly PR in the mile. 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Isn't that sad, though? I used to be able to run so well. I used to be able to run. When I was playing, I'd go and run 3 miles, no problem. It wasn't a workout. It's good shape. I could do 3 miles. I could have run a 6-minute mile if I wanted to. That was never a challenge. But I could do, like, put it at 8.2, 8.3 and run 2 or 3 miles. Dude, I started trying to jog, like, 6 weeks ago. And I made it, like, 0.25 miles on the treadmill. I was like, I got to walk a little bit here. And so then I've built up. I'm like, all right, I got it. I got 10.
You know what's
mobile.
Crazy? I can't do that. I have to do active cardio. I have to be engaged in playing basketball or something. If I just needed to go jog around the block, I cannot do it. If I got to go stand on the treadmill, it's so boring to me. I'm like, where am I running to? Like, I just feel like, what am I doing? So I have to do active. If I go to the gym and I play a pickup game of basketball, I can go play 5 or 6 games. And maybe that second or third game, you feel like, man, I'm about to collapse. But after I get my second win and fight through it, I can play 5 or 6 games. And then I'll do that on, like, Monday and Tuesday night. So I feel fine. But if I had to go running on the treadmill for 10 minutes, done. Like, exhausted. Legs burning, like that dry, like when you're trying to jog, when it's cold outside and it hurts your heart, I feel that way.
Hurts your heart.
It hurts your heart.
You should get that checked. I don't like to just sit there and run. Like, I change it. I'll run like 9 miles an hour for a minute and a half, and then I'll do 5 mile an hour jog for a minute and recover. That's a lie. It'd do 3.5 and walk right now. But I mean, I want to get back up there. I lied about that. I don't do 5. I tried that, though. All right. Moving on. 3:15, baby. I'm going to get up to 3.65 this year. Forget that 3:15.
Why not shoot for 400?
I don't know. It just seems like a lot of weight.
You did all of that in one day.
I know. Can you believe that?
Why not shoot?
I'm not lying to you. People watched.
I believe you.
You know, I want to get to 315 on the bench again. How much do you think you can bench? Bro, how much can you bench?
185.
No, you could do more than that.
185.
What was the most you ever did?
215.
That's not true.
That's totally true.
You didn't do the bench at the combine?
I just told you. Oh, 235. That was, you know what? So, leading up to combine, I worked out with 185 and 205 the entire time. Never got under 225. Not one time did I get under 225.
Over?
Until my pro day. So, I wasn't worried about my speed. I wasn't worried about anything pro day besides bench pressing. Pro day, I got under 225 for the first time ever. That was my first time ever laying under 225 to lift it was pro day. And I did it 8 times. When I said my teammates, because I never lifted weights, my teammates were ecstatic. I got up feeling like I just did this 45 times. Like, I'm flexing. All of the GMs, like all of the scouts were looking at me like, is he serious? Like, I'm walking around. My teammates are high-fiving me. My strength coach, Coach Swayze, like, everybody was so excited because they knew I didn't, like, I've never bench pressed. So they seen the progress from 185 to me actually getting under 225 and doing it 8 times. So everyone was ecstatic. And all the scouts and GMs looking like, what the hell is going on? Like, are they serious? And everybody else high-fiving me, chest bumping, like, oh, it's over. I felt great about it.
Yeah.
But that was the only time I ever, first and last time, never got under it again.
Bench press is probably the most overrated lift in professional football. But they're still doing it.
Until someone changes it.
They're still in there doing it. You never bench press somebody on the football field. You would punch, but you never really push somebody off of you on the football field. That never happens.
I felt like my initial punch was better than anybody who benched more than me. Anybody I've ever seen.
Well, you bench. Used to do that Dak Prescott hip thing, so you had really good hips. Yeah. You used to walk around and do that. That's a weird thing.
That's good hip mobility.
Yeah, yeah. You're good at that one.
Yeah, thrusting. It's called thrusting.
Yeah. So the game last night. First of all, I got home. You'll like this. My wife had this thing she set up. It was like all the way almost in Arlington. For my daughter and I to go, and it was to teach me how to do her hair. Like, I can do a ponytail. That's it. But we went, and it was closed. They messed up. They sent us the thing. It was the wrong thing. We got to go back another time. That was an hour drive. That stunk. I felt bad for her. She's five. So I took her to Morton's to get dessert. So we went to Morton's, and her and I had dessert. And I got home in the time, and I'm like, she fell asleep in the car. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and watch this game. Dude, I made it until the end of the first quarter, and I fell asleep.
Bro, I watched the entire game through. I watched the entire game, and I thought, you know what? This would be perfect if this game ends in a tie, because San Francisco didn't deserve to lose, and Seattle didn't deserve to lose. And San Francisco kicker got to be – I know he's probably on – He's sitting down talking to a therapist right now.
McLaughlin.
Because he had an opportunity. Because he came in and he was
made
like
the one at the end of regulation.
So smooth. The one at the end of regulation right down the center. It was so smooth, full of confidence. And I was thinking they kept showing Robbie Gould, the 49ers injured kicker. And they kept showing him and they were talking so positive about this kid coming out of Illinois. And he had an opportunity because Gould is coming back to actually make a team. If he makes this kick last night, someone is picking him up the minute he get released because kickers are needed. And the pressure, he couldn't deal with it. And his kick wasn't even close.
No, it was a shank.
He shanked it bad.
No, it was a dead shank. Nope. So I did wake up this morning and watch the entire game. I DVR'd the game. I literally, like, I can't even watch football anymore. I have 3 pages of notes from a game that I really didn't necessarily plan on talking about while I started watching it. But it's an awesome game, so you have to talk about it.
It was definitely an awesome game.
So here's why San Francisco deserves to lose the game, just so you understand. Like, the biggest reason why. Because when you have a minute 40 left in overtime,
they
have no timeouts, you run the ball one time, so you cannot lose the game. You run the ball one time. Once.
It
can hurt you in terms of having an opportunity to get down the field. I think they were like on the 20. Is that right? Somewhere around the 20.
They were like on the 30-yard line, had an opportunity to run the ball, and he threw.
You have to run the ball one time.
Passes.
You cannot go 3 and out with 3 incompletions. And it's different. If you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback, fine. I can throw 3 straight passes because I believe Russell's probably going to complete one or he's going to take off and he's going to run on one. If you have a guy that you know is going to complete one of those balls, that's absolutely fine. But Jimmy Garoppolo, and we'll get into
should
this,
have thrown
was
two
not
interceptions.
Capable of playing at a high level at that point in the game. You had to run the ball so you didn't lose the ball game.
He should have threw 2 interceptions. His first 2 passes should have been picks.
I think
the first one bounced off.
I think you're thinking of, was that the first drive of overtime that he hit KJ right in the chest, and then he threw one to Bobby Wagner?
On the 3 and out, he should have threw 2 interceptions. The guy undercut it, and it bounced up in the air. He just got lucky breaks each time. But San Francisco 49ers should have come out and run the ball. They actually ran a power that picked up 9 yards actually. They ran a power that picked up 9 yards, caught Seattle by surprise because they're used to seeing the zone scheme. Why not come back and run that play again? Just flip the play to the opposite side and run that.
Just run the ball one time. Just don't lose the game. I know that you want to win the game, but you're still going to have a minute to get
downfield.
You got an interesting decision with your kicker there. I think it put Kyle in a tough spot. Go back to – there's a couple other reasons why they deserve to lose this game. Where were they at the 32 when they decided to kick the field goal there? 30, 32 is a 50-yard or something like that.
It was a 47-yard.
Fourth and short.
Go for it.
But where he got put in a tough position was that a kicker made the kick in the end of regulation like dead through the uprights. Like, he's good. He's clutch. He made the kick at the end of regulation. There's no reason to think that kick was to go to overtime. The bigger kick is the one that you just immediately lose for.
First off, you challenge that first down call because the running back actually landed on his own player. So you could have challenged that, and that would have used your timeout if you lose, which gave you more time to even consider going for it. But when you put your kicker, it's fourth and inches. Quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I do think that they got the first down.
Yeah, but you didn't challenge it.
It was a poor spot.
Horrible spot.
It's a poor spot.
But you're supposed to challenge that. The other reason I don't think they deserve
to lose. Do you have to challenge in overtime? I should know that right now. Or
you have everything. You have a challenge.
They looked at that. They looked at that for a long time, though.
Jadeveon Clowney probably had a MVP caliber game last night.
Oh, he was outstanding.
Unreal. Because the way he – and they didn't even flip sides with him. He was lined up against their Pro Bowl tackle, and he whooped him the entire game.
They flipped sides.
No,
he lined up over both the right and the left tackle.
He was over the left tackle demolishing the left tackle.
He demolished McGlinchey on the right side too.
Oh, yeah, earlier in the game.
And had a sack fumble on
McGlinchey. Yeah, I'm talking about later in the game.
Yeah, well, they flipped sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sucker.
That's good. But it's horrible for you to realize that your tackle, neither tackle can stop.
Jadeveon Clowney is an absolute beast right now. He's a wrecking machine.
Beast mode.
He had the touchdown. He had a sack fumble.
If
you're an
hurries.
Offensive lineman on the Jadeveon Clowney sack fumble, if you're an offensive lineman, don't pick it up and run. One, you're not going anywhere. It's just you're not.
And
two, you never carry the ball, so then you get the ball stripped out.
He tried to switch ball hands. Did you see that?
Yeah. How did he even end up with the ball? For a minute, I thought – I watched the replay like 20 times. He's in there like – almost looked like he was jostling for the ball with Russell Wilson. You're like, get away from him.
Hey, but he tried to switch ball hands. I was rolling.
Where is he going?
Listen, the play of that game was
– here I go. I don't know if they're going to get me. I'm going to take off and go. I feel good about this.
Play of the game was the DB snatching the ball – From
Metcalf.
Metcalf before the half.
Right at the end of the half. Was that Kwan Williams? I think it was Kwan Williams.
That was an excellent play. That was a game-changing play.
No, it was Jaquizi Tart.
Tart. That's, yeah.
See, I have notes.
That was a play of the game.
So here's my last thought on how you lose a game. Seattle's – in overtime, it's a minute 25. They don't have any timeouts. It's a third down and three. San Francisco looks like they're playing really cover one with the blitz, so they bring an extra defender.
22 yards.
But the inside backer, 54, is now just going to peel and double the slot receiver. Do you know who the quarterback is? Seriously, are we more concerned that our hook safety or our hook nickel can't run with their slot receiver or that Russell Wilson's going to scramble? Coach, what do you think's going to beat us here? Him making a throw to a slot receiver who's just a guy or Russell Wilson scrambling? I think I've watched Russell Wilson scramble 7,000 times in my life. So you deserve to lose the game on that aspect as well. Yeah. By the way, that kicker from Seattle had missed three kicks the week before, including a game winner.
Yep.
Good thing they didn't cut him because he made the game winner. Jimmy Garoppolo is a problem in San Francisco. Amazing to me to see this quarterback who has had the start that he's had win-loss record-wise. It's astounding. But he's a problem for San Francisco right now. There's it's clear and evident when a coach trusts a quarterback and when he doesn't. And I think one of the most interesting decisions in the game was with 40 seconds left in the half after they had gotten an RPO screen out to the 20-some yard line and they have a timeout, Kyle Shanahan takes a knee. That's a waste of a possession. Kyle Shanahan is not a conservative coach or a coach who wastes possessions. That was indicative of a coach who does not trust his quarterback. They took a knee because he didn't trust his quarterback. I doubt, and I'm just sitting here watching this game, and Garoppolo was inaccurate. He was
uncomfortable
in the pocket. He didn't protect the ball in the pocket.
He was throwing off his back foot.
They're going to trade him at the end of the year. And I don't know what he'll have in terms of value, but I'm just running through this. You know Kyle right now is still in love with Kirk Cousins, who's got 1 year left in Minnesota.
Kirk is probably one of the smartest people. You know, how great is that? This man got $80 million guaranteed over 3 years. Next year he's getting paid again.
Well, he doesn't even need to get paid anymore. That's the thing.
I know, but he's still going to get paid.
Remember when you made shirts that said Clinton Portis 8 years, $80 million? I still have that. You gave me a shirt.
I need it back.
The $80 million is crazy. Or whatever you get is crazy. But it's not just that. You have the two franchise tag numbers from us, which was all the guaranteed money too.
Exactly. Another $42 million.
I just have people working for me all day. I'd never cook anything. I'd never clean anything. I wouldn't even put my shoes on. None of that's true. That's not true. But Jimmy Garoppolo is a problem in San Francisco. And I think that this coaching staff senses that it's a little bit of a problem for them. It hurt. Two other things that hurt him. Emmanuel Sanders went out early in that ball game, and George Kittle didn't play. And they had about five or six drops.
The backup
like they had a pick that ended up getting dropped. Or a pick that they threw to Bourne, who tipped it up in the air. It was a little bit of a high ball that ended up getting picked after he hit it. And they had about – Deebo Samuel had two or three drops. Bourne had another drop.
Deebo Samuel was playing a great game. You got to continue to feed Deebo, especially after
he had three drops.
Yeah, still, the catches that he made, he carried the team down the field 12 yards.
No, he did have eight catches for 112 yards.
See?
And Bourne had four catches for 42, and then literally it's – Tevin Coleman and Dwelly. And then
Dwelly
Sanders.
Actually Dwelly's playing a good game.
I cannot wait for that rematch. That is the best game you can see in the playoffs.
That was a really
I hope game. Those two play each other in the playoffs.
But you know another game that was good this weekend, Green Bay and Carolina. Yeah. Green Bay and Carolina. Carolina made a horrible decision to go for two. Why? No idea. I know they're kicking themselves in the butt. You go for two. You're down 8 points.
I like the play. We got called here, coach. I think we stick with it.
And
we feel good about this one.
If you kick a field goal, you're down seven. Instead, they went for two to be down six. It was.
Yeah, well, we're just saying that if we don't get the 2 point, then we can get it next time, and we'll tie it up that way. Why do coaches play to win the game when they're down 14 points? Let's just get back to even here. How about – well, I talked about this yesterday on this very podcast, but how about Dallas trying to burn time when they're down at the end of the game against Minnesota? It's crazy right there. How about Andy Reid calling one of his timeouts with 23 seconds, still up one when he doesn't have the right look against their two-point conversion? Excuse me, down one at that point. Some interesting decisions the coaches make. Helping people improve their lives is what should drive business. That's the belief at Koch Industries, which employs more than 65,000 people across America. The team at Koch works together to meet the world's changing needs in transportation, medical care, water filtration, household goods, energy-efficient building products, and everyday technologies, all while consuming fewer resources. See the innovations firsthand at KOCH, that's KochIndustries.com. And now, some DC travel wisdom. The old saying goes, if you want to go fast, go to Dulles. The airport access highway gets you there from D.C. in as little as 30 minutes. But if you want to go far,
also go to Dulles, where you can fly nonstop to 145 destinations. That's 45% more than any other airport in the region. Find out how else you can travel wisely at flydulles.com/wise. Join the Redskins and youth entrepreneurs during Global Entrepreneurship Week as former MVP kicker Mark Mosley shares his entrepreneurial journey at 1 Million Cups on Thursday, November 20th at the George Washington University School of Business Marvin Center. From football to Five Guys, you won't want to miss hearing Mr. Automatic's story and why he's so excited to support youth entrepreneurs in expanding their unique and transformative educational program in schools across the D.C. metro area. To learn more about bringing youth entrepreneurs engaging hands-on learning to your classroom now, visit getye.org. 75 tons of game day trash and recyclables need to find a home. So, when the final whistle blows, our team hits the field. As an official partner of the Washington Redskins, RTS is connecting with FedEx Field. We're connecting with smarter waste solutions to ensure a more sustainable and responsible approach to what's left behind at the end of the game. RTS, a better waste company. Find out more at RTS.com.
Dwayne Haskins is the starter. I think we all expected this. Let's move forward to some Redskins stuff right now. What do you want to see from Dwayne Haskins the rest of the season?
Well, I think we had this conversation at the beginning of the season. We've had this conversation numerous times, and I actually said I don't think Dwayne should be considered for starting until after the bye week. And so after the bye week, here's this opportunity. For me, if you're going to put Dwayne in, I don't want to see Dwayne handing the ball off. Because you could have used Case or Cope to continuously hand the ball off. I think at this point, you go to shotgun and you actually throw the ball. But what I would like to see more is, because you're known for running the ball, is you attack off play action and give Dwayne an opportunity to get under center, hand the ball off on second down. On first down, I'm taking shots every first down. Downfield, let's unleash this cannon. On second down, hey, if it's second and 10, I can run the ball. Third down, we'll decide where we are. But I'm going to put this last seven games on Dwayne. And it's not going to be one of those, well, I'm trying to figure out my identity or what we want to do or how we should move forward. It's just straight attack mode. I'm going to actually give him every opportunity to see if he's my quarterback of the future. If not, I'm going to have to address that. And you don't want to address that. You don't. And I'm not saying, hey, Dwayne can't do it. But now that you've named him the starter for the next 7 weeks, you need to know if he's going to be your guy moving forward.
No, I completely agree. I kind of got sidetracked in my mind when you said you can run the ball on second and 10. So I started looking this up. And I'm through like 20 NFL teams. You know, there's a higher percentage of run plays on second and 10 than there is second and 9, second and 8, or second and 7. People want to run it on second and 10. You throw an incomplete pass, and every coach panics. They're like, we got to run it here. We got to run the ball.
Because you don't
throw an incomplete pass on first and 10, throw the ball on second and 10. What's the big deal? It's like 50% run in the NFL on second and 10. It's crazy. But on second and 8, it's 70% pass. Is that not the weirdest thing in the world, how coaches think? You run it on second and 10. You sure ain't trying to get a first down.
You're trying to get to third and manageable. You're trying to get to third to six.
I understand. I understand that, but you can't get a four-yard pass. Check down, give you 4 yards. You're going to play soft against a pass on second and 10. Here's what I would like to see from Dwayne. First of all, a couple of thoughts. You know, I've been big on this. Like, I don't really care if they win ball games, and I don't right now. I don't want to see them be terrible. I want to see them end games. I want to see good games. I want to see good football. But I also sure wouldn't mind that first or second pick. Think of it in a year with two quarterbacks that people absolutely love, Chase Young, the tackle from Georgia, the corner from Ohio State. Like, you're going to –
wide receiver from
there's
Alabama.
There's a boatload of value in one and two. Like, as much value as one and two's had since the Robert Griffin year.
Well, I think there's
– Robert value. And Andrew Luck.
I think there's value in up to four. You're talking about Burrow, LSU, Tua, Alabama, Judy, Alabama, Chase Young, mm-hmm. Ohio State. That's for
there's a ton of value as long as one of those two quarterbacks is on the board. As long as Tua continues to grow a little bit, Burrow's the number one pick. That's the deal. He's going to be the number one pick.
So, but as long as Tua's still on the board, you're one game out of having the number one pick.
He's frowning like he thinks Burrow's going to be the number one pick.
Burrow is legit.
He's just going to be the number one pick. I'm just telling you, he's going to be.
Burrow is actually legit.
But there's a ton of value in 1 and 2. And that, if you really wanted the core, you find out with Dwayne. But I will say this. If we win ball games because Dwayne leads you back in the end of games and makes big throws and makes big plays in critical moments, you're essentially saying that we have the number one pick. You're proving to your new coach, if there is one, you're proving to your team, you're proving to Dwayne that the guy that you took at 15 is worth the number one pick. So if he can lead you back in some games and make some big critical plays and be the guy that everyone wants him to be, sure, we can win 5 games. I got no problem with that. But I don't want to win games because we have a punt return for a touchdown and because one of their quarterbacks drops one and we look anemic on offense and we can't score. And at that point, I don't want to win. I don't want to win sloppy football games. I want to win football games because Dwayne Haskins proves to you that he can win football games. And in doing that, Clinton, I want to see a guy, and I hate this, like, I want to see progression. From what? What have we seen? Like, they're talking about practice. I want to see
who he
actually is. What progression do you need? What progression are we – where's the baseline for his performance in games? To me, it's Buffalo. It's not the other two starts. And it's a Buffalo game that they didn't let him throw the ball. So where's the baseline? I like Bill, but the press conference yesterday where I just want to see progression. No, I want to see good quarterback play. Like, I want to see him manipulate the downfield coverage with his eyes down the field. I want to see his feet match his eyes. That's a big problem for him right now is his feet don't match his eyes. So all of a sudden, he's working the middle of the field, but his left foot stepping wide open, and he's not following through his throws because his feet aren't moving with his eyes in the pocket. I want to be able to see him slide and move a little bit right now. He has a problem sliding to his right in the pocket. I want to see him be able to climb the pocket to make a throw, not just climb the pocket to run. I want to see him continue to throw with anticipation. He's done that really well. I want to see really big-time accuracy in mid-range and short-range throws. He struggled with that at Ohio State. He missed a lot of short-range throws last year and mid-range throws. Like, I love the idea of, like, let's throw the ball deep to Terry McLaurin. Those guys were college teammates. Like, yeah, they should have a good chemistry and timing. You can't always just throw it deep, especially if you don't have deep threats to take it off. But he's got to be able, in an NFL level, to have really good accuracy in the mid-range and short-range game. So that's what I want to see from Dwayne. And outside of that, like, I think he can move in the pocket. I think he's comfortable. I've seen poise. I've seen him feel good. So I'm not afraid of that. I think he's got the mobility to move around and run. I've seen that from him. I feel good with that. I just want to see him continue to grow so we can call a pass on 2nd and 10 and get 5.
So
without a problem.
Last night, I watched Russell Wilson do something.
He's really good.
On the run where he threw they were going in to score, and he kind of flipped the ball over the tight end's head, but the tight end had the defender walled off, and he just fell back and caught the ball. But no one else could have made the play on the ball. Everybody was kind of walled off. So it was like
– talking about the play in the first half on the boot?
Yeah, where he threw the ball to the tight end.
Yeah.
And the tight end was, like, walling off the defender. And last second, he kind of pushed him and fell back. I think when you get to that level of quarterback play or that level of decision-making, because you can't make that play. You know, just a normal quarterback can't make that play. But if you can get to that decision-making and say, hey, I'm smart enough to realize no one else can get to this ball, I'm going to try to put it in position for just my player. I want to see that in Haskins. And, you know, it's hard to say, but as a playmaker, you get creative. We see Pat Mahomes. We see guys throwing the ball backwards. You see Aaron Rodgers running and kind of flip the ball. And you're starting to see so many quarterbacks that's taking chances and making plays that are spectacular that you just say, wow, what made him think of that? That's where I want to see Haskins progression. I want to see Haskins take chances. I don't want to see Haskins handicapped and, you know, constantly handing the ball off, and then third down we're going to try to throw the ball. Give him an opportunity to go out and bring life to this fan base. As you said, I don't want to see the sloppy games. Like, you're winning the sloppy games from something that probably shouldn't have happened, butt fumble or something. I want to see the Redskins in this, because either you're playing for one or two, as you said, first or second pick in the draft, or you're
not, because your quarterback got you there.
So I want to see Haskins with the opportunity to get you there. And Paul Richardson is supposed to be a deep threat. Terry McLaurin has shown he can do it all. I think you get Stevie Sims Jr. more involved in this half of the season. Trey Quinn, reliable underneath, sure hands. You're giving him outs. You got guys coming back. You have AP gaining traction. CT should be coming back soon. Tight end position, you're still, you know, you're not sure, but you're giving him an opportunity to have some weapons moving forward.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I just want to see the guy. I want to see the guy make some plays, and if they're going to win ball games, that they're going to win ball games because he's making plays, CP. I think that's where you're at. Here's the other thing that I think we need to stop. I heard this in the press conference yesterday. We're going to expand the playbook. I'm going to keep trying to expand. If I'm a young quarterback and my coach keeps talking about we're going to try to expand the playbook. What's he telling me? Like, just say we're fine. Well, he's doing a great job. He's going to make some big plays for us this week because we're counting on him to do it. We keep doing this to him. Going to work on expanding the playbook. All right. It's been a tough year. You guys all Redskins fans in here? It's been a tough one.
You got half the crowd shaking their head no. The other half,
like,
yeah.
Maybe if they start winning, we can get back to there. All right. Hopefully we get some good football. Thank you guys for all coming out. Thanks to everyone who listens to the podcast. CP, thanks for doing it with me.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime.
Have a good one.
Peace.
If you have atrial fibrillation, you know it can be difficult to treat successfully. Innova Heart and Vascular Institute in Fairfax is a leader in AFib treatment using specialized technology and expertise. This helps to more precisely target and treat rhythm irregularities that others could miss, helping to restore your heartbeat to normal. Give your heart the benefit of care. Visit innovaheart.org/AFib to learn more and to find an Innova physician. Innova. Join the future of health.
At Coke, our 67,000 U.S. employees make things that make your game days better, like fertilizer for greener turf and stronger paper products for tailgating. Viewing the game from your couch? Coke also makes the electronic components and TVs and smart devices so you can watch your Redskins victory anywhere. Coke, we make that. See it all at kochmakesthat.com. That's Coke makes that.
Time to tailgate. We have my Honda CRV with class-leading cargo space so I can bring the grill. Cousin Bobby's Honda Pilot with seating for eight. And my brother's Honda Ridgeline loaded with fun features like in-bed speakers and an in-bed trunk. Nothing left to do now but sit back and wait for kickoff. Who wants a hot dog?
Get more this season with a great deal on a new Honda. Perfect for tailgating. See your local Honda dealer today.
In a world full of lines, lines for everything. Ugh. Nails that incapacitate you till they dry. Red lights, so many lights.
Ah, for the love of...
Coffee that drips at the speed of molasses. And seasons that just won't change.
Fall, where you at?
In a world full of waiting, we've put our proverbial foot down. We give you the print and play rolling jackpot from the Virginia Lottery, starting at 50K and rolling, and you can win it, that's right, instantly. But you will have to wait for the odds. Odds of winning top prize 1 in 240,000.